In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani, in an interview on ABC, admitted that meetings between the Trump campaign and Russian operatives continued from very early in the campaign all the way through to the election in November 2016. He also claimed that, quote, collusion is not a crime. Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen, who has been sentenced to 3 years in prison, told prosecutors about the Trump Tower meetings. This is Giuliani speaking with George Stephanopoulos on Sunday.
I know that collusion is not a crime. Right? It was over with by the time of the election. I don't know what evidence
he
has
of that. Let me ask you a few specific questions then.
It didn't happen. I can't imagine how he
did. Did Donald Trump know that Michael Cohen was pursuing the Trump Tower in Moscow into the summer of 2016?
According to the answer that he gave, it would have covered all the way up to November of 2016. Said he had conversations with him about it. The president didn't hide this. They know.
Well, earlier they had said those conversations stopped in January 2016.
Until you actually sit down and answer the questions, and you go back and you look at the papers and you look at the trend, you're not going to know what happened. That's why lawyers, you know, prepare for those answers. Okay,
that's Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, speaking on ABC on Sunday. Representative Elijah Cummings said also on Sunday that he would like for Michael Cohen to testify before Congress when Democrats take control of the House in January. Mr. Cummings is likely to head the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. His colleague, Representative Adam Schiff, who is expected to head the House Intelligence Committee, said last week that he had already been in touch with Cohen's lawyers about delivering testimony before he begins his prison term. The New York Times on Monday published a report on the Senate Intelligence Committee about Russian hackers' use of social media to influence the 2016 election. The report is due to be released on the same day. The effort was apparently quite strongly aimed at African Americans in order to suppress turnout for the Democratic Party. The report named the St. Petersburg-based company called Internet Research Agency. According to the report, the most prolific IRA efforts on Facebook and Instagram specifically targeted Black American communities and appear to have been focused on developing Black audiences and recruiting Black Americans as assets. They drew on existing grievances in order to exploit them, added the report. The Pew Research Center had reported last year that Black voter turnout rates sharply dropped in 2016, falling below that of whites. According to the Times, there are ongoing efforts to this day from Russian sources to influence American public opinion. One continuing Russian campaign, for instance, seeks to influence opinion on Syria by promoting Bashar al-Assad, the Syrian president, and a Russian ally in the brutal conflict there. A federal judge in Texas has struck down the entire Affordable Care Act, dealing a blow to Americans who rely on insurance companies to, among other things, not discriminate against them for pre-existing conditions. The U.S. Supreme Court has already upheld the legality of the ACA, which means the judge's ruling will likely be overturned. Still, it throws into question the ability of millions of Americans to enroll for health plans in the new year. Democratic Senator Christopher Murphy called the judge's ruling a five-alarm fire and said, quote, Republicans just blew up our health care system. The ruling was in response to a suit brought by Republicans. The former President Barack Obama tweeted on Saturday, reminding people that it was, quote, the deadline to make sure you and the people you love have health insurance in 2019. So head over to thehealthcare.gov to get covered. Obama added that the ruling, quote, changes nothing for now. Huffington Post cited a study showing that eliminating the Affordable Care Act would increase the national uninsured rate by 50% and lead to more than 17 million people losing health coverage. A number of Democratic lawmakers visited the tent encampment in Tornillo, Texas this weekend, where U.S. authorities are holding thousands of undocumented children in detention. Among those who visited were Texas Representative and former Senate candidate Beto O'Rourke, California Representative Judy Chu, and Senators Tina Smith of Minnesota, Mazie Hirono of Hawaii, and Jeff Merkley of Oregon. Here is Beto O'Rourke addressing activists that were present.
When we attempted to speak to these children and asked them how they were doing, I was able to ask them the countries from which they came. I heard Guatemala and Honduras, asked them about the conditions. They kind of nodded their heads. It's okay, but what are they going to say when everyone around them is watching? But there was something in the look on their faces that we saw, the way that they weren't really engaged in the sports that they were playing out on those fields. No place is going to be right unless it is with their parents or their families. As Senator Merkley pointed out, this facility is open because this administration has decided that those family members who could sponsor these kids and have them in their homes right now and be taking care of them and help those kids be well and get back on their feet are going through onerous background checks, which have produced 170 apprehensions. 109 of those apprehensions had no criminal background whatsoever. So an uncle or an aunt, a grandmother, a grandfather steps forward and says, I want to help this child out here at Tornillo, goes through an FBI background check that is then shared with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They are then picked up and deported back. That sends shockwaves through a community of immigrants all across this country. The director of BCFS said that he could have this place closed tomorrow if we would do away with the FBI background check that is shared with ICE right now. There are thousands of kids who are ready to go with sponsors that they have already identified.
That's Texas Representative Beto O'Rourke speaking with activists over the weekend during a visit to the Tent Center in Tornillo, Texas, where the Trump administration is holding thousands of undocumented children. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke has announced he is leaving the Trump administration at the end of the year. The increasingly cornered Zinke has been at the center of multiple corruption investigations, much like his former colleague Scott Pruitt had been at the EPA. In fact, the Interior Department's Inspector General referred one investigation to the Justice Department in October. Trump tweeted Zinke's imminent departure after months of reports that the White House was pushing for his resignation. The Washington Post, which obtained a copy of his private resignation letter, cited that Zinke blamed his departure on, quote, vicious and politically motivated attacks. His resignation does not absolve him of the legal probes he faces. Zinke is expected to be replaced by David Bernhardt, a man that the New York Times describes as, quote, a former oil lobbyist who has played a central role in enacting President Trump's agenda of rolling back conservation measures and opening up public lands to drilling and mining. And as a deadline fast approaches to pass a spending bill keeping the federal government funded, President Trump has found himself increasingly isolated on his threat to shut down the government over his border wall. There are reports that very few Republicans support his demand for $5 billion of funding for a wall between the U.S. and Mexico. Republican Senator John Cornyn said everybody is looking to him for a signal about what he wants to do, and so far it's not clear. An unnamed Republican lawmaker told The Hill, Trump will get the blame, but he won't care, and the base will love him for it. The deadline to pass a bill is December 21st. In international news, the UN climate negotiations in Katowice, Poland, have wrapped up after 2 weeks. The resulting deal is focused on the implementation of the 2015 Paris Accord. But according to critics, the final agreement left out directives on specific reductions in emissions by 2030, while it calls on wealthier countries to clarify how they will provide aid to less well-off nations, many of which are on the front lines of the climate crisis. More in-depth talks about developing countries' needs were put off until next year. Greenpeace Executive Director Jennifer Morgan said people expected action, and that is what governments did not deliver. This is morally unacceptable. And that does it for our headlines today.